The individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's Tuesday, but my guest usually on the third Wednesday of the month is Craig Compo, but he's leaving us tomorrow morning to fly down to Washington for a few days, so he's gracing us with his present. Uh-huh. And will try and stump me with his information. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Hear me okay? I can't hear myself here.
Well, yeah, you're okay. Fine.
All right.
Turn up your it's called headphones that you
know,
have.
I can hear you. I can't hear me. This is that North Korean equipment you keep talking about.
Yeah, it's
that's okay. If I'm being heard, that's good. Maybe it's not.
It's the North Korean equipment, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
before we get started, I know you attended our comedy little gig up at the Ivory Jacks a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I did.
We're going to do it again, I think, in March. We're going to try and do it every other month. But we did post a bunch of it. I've had people asking for it. So we posted a whole bunch of stuff on a website now, including stuff that people ask me all the time to send, the old Urban Rehoy TV commercials, video pranks like the one we done on Satterberg with COVID, Dark Winter Nights when we did the dark. So we've got a landing page now for people if they want to ever go look
Craig at Craig Compo's greatest hits. Yeah, is that what it's called?
Well, it's not just me. We've got others on there. But just stuff.
People that, you've torched.
Yeah. But I want to put a warning. Some of it is like the stand-up is adult humor. So if you're easily offended, stay away. But it's not vulgar. It's just, you know, edgy stuff. What would you say? It's edgy a little bit. Stand-up comedy can be edgy.
Okay.
I'll just that,
that's how, if that's how you want to classify it, that's how we'll classify it.
But we had fun with it. People want us to do it again. You know, we packed the place with 2 days' notice.
Yeah, thank you for getting me those seats at right next
oh,
to
yeah,
you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You had the mayor seats, right? The
yeah.
Former mayor.
Former mayor.
Yeah.
The snowplower guy seats.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, and look at this weather. So, I don't know. Have you heard anything about, because we got 6 to 12 inches more snow, what the snow load is right now?
I do not know, but like I was thinking about that this weekend.
You might have somebody on the show that's real familiar with that kind of stuff and talking about it.
Because when it starts getting wet, it gets heavier no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's when you start losing.
Yes.
You know, March, April is when you start having your roofs cave in, basically.
And now is a good time to get it taken off of there, right? So that's what I'm going to do at our shop. I've got to get it taken off of there.
Oh, yeah. The old shop.
Yeah.
You know,
got a bunch of nice cars in there.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, you know, maybe if it's heavily insured.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. Anyway, we usually do trivia. And so this time I thought I'd talk a little bit about a subject you know something about, although maybe not the avenue I'm taken off in, but I need to.
You're usually by your own avenue there.
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah. Well, yeah, usually what I do is Alaskan history, mm-hmm. or pipeline history, or 1989, mm-hmm. certain years. I like the kind of, certain years that I remember. There's so much going on. Like we did a show on 89.
Yeah.
We had Readout. We had Exxon Valdez. We had the airplane crash at Wainwright. We had all that stuff happening in 89. Mm-hmm. And so it invites a lot of cool conversation about, you know, what you were doing then and if you were in town, you remembered it or whatever. But we need to do a little history here, and part of this trivia is going to be on rich women. So,
are you trying to get me in big trouble?
No, and it's how it relates to real estate.
Okay.
Okay, so it does have something to do with your profession there. Now, there was a lady named Marjorie Meriwether Post. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was the inheritor of the Post.
General Foods.
Yeah.
C.W. Post was her father,
and she took it, and she built Mar-a-Lago.
She did,
yeah,
she did in 1927.
She was the one who basically started the refrigeration of foods.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's kind of interesting how that came. How she?
But anyway,
that's very good. Yeah. And she lived in Battle Creek, Michigan, which is a city you've heard of.
Wheaties
and all that.
Kellogg's cornflakes,
She lived there from ages 3 to 14. Then she moved to D.C., got educated and whatever. And, of course, rich father, he was the one that started the whole thing back in whatever year it was, 1914 or something. She became the owner in 1914 after the death of her father, director of the company until 1958. Along with her ex-husband, or her second husband, who became her ex-husband. Anyway, a lot of interesting information on her life growing up. And then, of course, having built Mar-a-Lago in Florida, which was a pretty interesting deal. So you talked about the frozen food thing, Dave. Here's what happened there. She was on a voyage on a yacht, and she came across an innovator named Clarence Birdseye. Mm-hmm. You've heard of Birdseye before. Yeah. He was dining on board with her, he was dining on a turkey which was previously frozen. And Birdseye had invented a technology to preserve fresh food by flash freezing it. Mm-hmm. Post kind of saw the writing on the wall, thought that was the future, bought the company, made him vice president, and then pioneered the frozen food market.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, let's take that.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Name is Beep.
So much for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a pretty long draw into rich women.
Well, I just, she was one of the richest women. I think the richest woman of the time in the United States.
Self-made. Well, she did.
She inherited, but she also grew the company and did real well. So
a visionary.
She wound up building Mar-a-Lago with some of the money, with obviously Trump's palace right now. So I just thought it was really interesting, the whole story of Mar-a-Lago and how he bought it and so forth. And so I came up with just a half a dozen trivia questions, but I wanted to talk about what kind of happened there because no secret, I'm a big Trump fan. Reagan and Trump, my two favorite presidents, a whole bunch of them on the bottom of the list that have come between them. But I just always thought, he is a savvy, shrewd realtor, businessman. He knows the art of the deal, obviously. It's pretty clever what he did there. But anyway, we'll start off with Mar-a-Lago. Trivia question, what it means. What does Mar-a-Lago mean? I got four options for you. From sea to lake. Number two, ocean view. Number three, make America great again. And number four, divine waters. What do you think Mar-a-Lago means?
Divine waters.
No, it's from sea to lake, and that's because of the location with this lake. I forget the name of the lake it sits on, and then the ocean is right there. So, yeah, okay. Okay, now here's a financial question for you. When it was built in 1927, Mar-a-Lago cost $3 million, $7 million, $10 million, or $12 million?
Let me say seven.
You got it. $7 million. Okay, there's one for Dave.
Oh, we're keeping score now.
Yeah, we're keeping score. Okay. Now, when Post died, when she died in 1973, she left it to one of the four entities here, the National Park Service, the federal government, the state of Florida, or Hank Bartos?
National Park Service.
No, but
Hank
was
Bartos?
No, it was actually the National Park Service was one of the considerations, I think. The problem was they couldn't afford the upkeep.
Mm-hmm. Who got it?
The federal government. She donated to the federal government thinking this would be a great place for presidents to go.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Carter went to, where did he go? Kenny Bunkport or something?
He went to someplace in Georgia.
Yeah, they all go to their place. Mm-hmm. Reagan went to his ranch, right? That was what the intent was. Okay, now. Post's second husband was somebody semi-famous. Was it Jimmy Stewart?
No.
E.F. Hutton, Wiley Post, or Hank Bartos.
E.F. Hutton.
It was E.F. Hutton. There you go. Look at you go.
Well, you're sort of smacking Hank Bartos a lot.
I don't know. I pick it up.
What do you give me a bad real estate transaction? You're on real estate and Hank Bartos.
I just had my God. I could have done.
Well, we're gonna sort of take a break so I can catch my breath.
Okay.
Fairbanks, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Craig Compo is grilling me on every answer has every question has an answer of Hank Bartos in it.
Well, it's just an option. You don't have to choose it. I just picked the
more
local.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A winter storm warning begins at 6 p.m. tonight and remains in effect until 7 a.m. Friday. Slight chance for snow this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs around 6 above. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 6 to 12 inches of snow today through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Did you like that weather report?
I did more when I was selling snow machines.
Another 6 to 12 inches of snow today.
I've been plowing. I plowed my mom's, my sister's, my place. I got a couple places I plow. So I actually enjoy plowing snow. Your mind goes in neutral. You're just plowing snow. It feels good to get out there and plow snow. But the roads... You know, the roads, mm-hmm. when you're driving after snow, like on Sunday, I didn't see any trucks out doing any snow plowing, but it seems like, you know, you got one lane you can see, mm-hmm. and then you got the other lane that's covered in snow, and people drive fast on that one, and then you're driving blind for 10 seconds. You know, I don't know what the rush is. You're not going to get there that much faster, but anyway. Twice yesterday I saw vehicles that turned wrong way on a fork, like by Wells Fargo.
Yeah, they couldn't see where it was.
Yeah, and they turned into the oncoming lane and that turned around.
You know, it's interesting the snow plowing the city of Fairbanks does now or lack thereof.
Yes. Yeah. Why? We had a heavy snowfall. The roads, I'm sure you can authorize overtime or whatever when it's really necessary.
What I would do is when I saw the first snowflake, I paid attention to the weather.
Yeah.
And overtime was always authorized. As soon as it starts snowing, you start snow plowing.
Yeah, especially if you got a heavy snow.
And guess what my overtime expense for the year was? 1% of their budget.
Wow.
That's all it was.
Yeah. And now we're not plowing snow, and the budget is way over.
Yeah.
I don't feel like plowing today.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so we were...
I get a lot of phone calls when I really do when it starts snowing and you don't see any equipment going.
Oh, yeah, people complaining to you?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about this?
I say, hey, you know, there's a vote that happened and you can't go back.
Voting has consequences.
Yeah.
Okay, we were talking about Mar-a-Lago and the history
and
of
Hank
Mar-a-Lago.
Bartos.
And, yeah, and Hank, okay, I think we're done with Hank for a while. The federal government was the one that, so this post lady, she died in 73. She left Mar-a-Lago to the federal government as a gift and probably a hell of a write-off. She donated it because she had tried to sell it, actually. She had tried to sell it, but again, this was right before the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Florida was booming kind of in 27 or whatever, but I think, I don't know if people saw it coming or whatever, but the federal government took possession of it, and then they gave it up because of the $1 million a year upkeep. They couldn't afford it. The government couldn't afford it, if you can believe that. So they put it up for sale in 1983. So in 73, she died and gave it to them. They kind of had it in their possession for a decade, probably spent $1 million a year just keeping it up, and then realized this isn't panning out, so they went to sell it. You're going to guess how much they went to sell it for. Was it $9 million, $14 million, $21 million, or $28
million? $9 million.
It was $28
million. Okay.
So they got it for nothing. It couldn't sell, and they tried to sell it for a really high number.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So anyway, whose ears perked up on that news?
Probably Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Yeah, he thought, okay, I like this place.
Good Donald.
I think I'll put a bid on it. So he bid what amount?
$7 million.
10, 15, 20, or 23?
I'm going to go lowball. 10.
It was $15 million.
Oh.
So he bid $15 million on it. Now, what he did then, he bought the property. But, you know, he didn't get it. They refused it.
Mm-hmm.
They refused it. And then the part of the whole deal was he had to run it as a club, but then he became an employee of the club to make it legal. A lot of this financial stuff, a lot of the residents didn't want him in there, didn't want a big development. They liked it the way it was, you know, not in my backyard type thing. Anyway, so they refused to sell it to him, even though there were no other bidders. There were a couple other bidders, I think Tammy Wynette and her group and a couple other big investors, but they didn't come anywhere near the $15 million. I think they offered $7 million or something like that. So Trump then, this is typical Donald Trump, he bought the property between Mar-a-Lago and the beach.
And stopped access.
And threatened to build a large home there that would block the ocean view from Mar-a-Lago. The property was purchased from Jack Massey, who was the former owner of KFC and a founder of a hospital Corp America. So this guy had money, but it was $2 million for this empty parcel right between the ocean and Mar-a-Lago. Very smart what he did. And he built, so he bought that for $2 million. So this scared off the other buyers, which was his whole intent.
Yeah.
And then Trump was able to buy Mar-a-Lago for your choices, $5 million, $8 million, $10 million, $12
million.
Yes.
$8
million. $5
million. $5 million.
He bought it. He actually, $8 is right when you add, he added $3 million worth of furniture.
Yeah.
But then I think he got a loan for $12 million. When he bought it for $5
million. Creative financing.
Yeah.
Probably renovations.
Because of the the value of the
renovations.
Yes, it was. So, anyway, this is a big place, Mar-a-Lago. I've never been there. I've been invited many times. haven't made it there. But do you know how many rooms Mar-a-Lago originally had? I think probably, I don't know if they changed it, but I'm going to give you four options here. 36, 76, 126, 196.
76.
126 rooms.
Jesus.
Can you believe that? 1927? No wonder the upkeep was so high. I mean, that's a big, big place. How many square feet was it? Was it 50,000, 85,000, 110,000, or 191,000?
191,000.
It was 110,000. So anyway, it was a big place. Very, very big
place. I would
say
so.
High maintenance. And then it was constructed with 36,000 Spanish tiles, some 15th century, and they were imported from Italy. So Trump properties are known for their historical attributes, but there's just a lot of history in this place. And there were an interesting fact from the Cold War era. There were three bomb shelters built at Mar-a-Lago during the Korean War in early 1950. And they were installed by Post, Marjorie Post, and with her husband, E.F. Hutton, at the time. And that right now they're hidden in the hedges of the property and are currently used to like workspace for storage and things like that. But anyway, a lot of history on that place. And the Kennedy family actually owns an estate about 2 miles from there. They had bomb shelters as well, obviously, that all during the 60s. Nuclear shelters and command posts and so forth. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting the way that the real estate the way that Trump got into that, and now I mean, it's world famous. He has all these people there, and so forth.
Has he ever been to Camp David?
That's what it was, Camp David. That was Carter, right?
No, that's named after David Eisenhower.
Yeah, but who's who was the president that always went to Camp David?
I thought Nixon.
Nixon, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, Carter, you know. Anyway, yeah. Camp David is the presidential retreat.
Yeah.
Where they take the helicopter to it.
Yeah. And so now, I wonder if the federal government pays anything for Trump's visits to Mar-a-Lago. Probably not. I don't know if they actually, you know, most of, you know, all that is paid for by the government when they go to Camp David or whatever, wherever else. But, and I remember Reagan always wanted to go to his ranch. He'd go cut wood. He was old school. He just liked getting away from politics. He'd go chop wood and deal with his horses.
Riding with his horses, yeah.
And I know I've told this story before about my favorite Ronald Reagan story when he was up here staying at what Frank Murkowski's place there. Mm-hmm. And they lost water. Do you remember that story? They lost, when he was up here to meet the Pope, him and Nancy stayed there, nobody else except their chef. And he lost hot water. It was a new place. And rather than call the authorities or panic or whatever else, Nancy wanted to take a shower. He got the toolbox out that was in the garage, crawled under the stairwell, followed the pipes up where it went from hot to cold, found a bad valve, cracked it loose, bled it. Got her water. And I always tried to call Dennis Miller because Dennis Miller, the comedian, used to have a radio show, and it was, tell us your favorite Ronald Reagan story. And that's mine. Here is Reagan in Fairbanks. It's midnight. He's crawling under the stairwell on cold cement with a pipe wrench and a flashlight, and he gets the hot water going for that's why Reagan was our best president. That one story right there tells you more about the man than 8 years of serving as president.
There you go.
Anyway, so I don't know if we have to go to a break, but we got a few minutes. I wanted to talk about who the richest woman in Fairbanks was for many years.
Ruth Barrick?
No, and I'm wondering if you're no. Well, probably, but this was at a time my mother remembers this woman.
What era? What time frame?
50s, 60s, maybe. Maybe not late into the 60s, mostly the 50s. Her name was Hulda Ford, and she was an old-timer in Fairbanks. Scared kids a lot. She was odd, but she had a lot of money. And she was born in Minnesota in 1872. She left home as a young teen, like a lot of people that wind up here, got a divorce. And then she bought a steamer ticket to Nome. And then she started working as a waitress, saved up her money, and then she bought the old NC Company building and turned it into a boarding house. So this is Hulda Ford. And my mom tells me the story about seeing her, kind of a really eccentric, very, very wealthy, but dressed like Irene Sherman. Mm-hmm.
But didn't invest in style and clothing.
Right. She didn't care about any of that. But so anyway, she's... a lot of history on her and kind of the real estate that she bought and things that she did.
Yeah. Well, Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here. We have some bumper music that hopefully comes through our North Korean equipment, the Foo Fighters. And we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some weather, and we expect 6 to 12 inches of snow, some commercials, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
We're into week three of the search. Ready, 4-year-old Nancy Guthrie, who was abducted from her home in Tucson, Arizona, in the early morning hours February 1st. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nano speaking in an exclusive interview with Fox about DNA tests on a glove found near the scene.
The news now, I think, is we had heard this morning that, of course, the DNA on the glove that was found 2 miles away was submitted for CODIS, and I just heard that CODIS had no hits.
Investigators have been asking the public for tips on a masked individual who was spotted on her door cam shortly before she went missing. Democratic Maryland Governor Wes Moore signing a bill that bans official cooperation between local law enforcement and federal immigration and customs enforcement.
By funding, ICE is the 13th largest military force in the world.
The governor signing two emergency bills into law. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTVF reports the Fairbanks North Star Borough is reallocating $11.4 million in school district funds after completing an audit and finding that the district's fund balances in fiscal year 2025 exceeded the amount allowed in borough code. The audit agrees with one completed by the district, which found that several district funds, including the general fund, amounted to around $34 million, $11.4 million more than the $32 million allowed by borough code, which mandates that these funds cannot be worth more than 40% of the borough's annual local contribution to the district's funding, which in FY25 was $62 million. When the audit was reported and accepted by the borough on Thursday evening, the funds were automatically reallocated by the borough to a maintenance reserve fund for school district facilities. According to Borough Mayor Grier Hopkins, the borough is open to conversations with the school board about whether this money should stay in the maintenance reserve fund or be used for other purposes in the district, although the Fairbanks Assembly will have the final decision.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Every day now at the Great Alaska Pizza Company in Fairbanks and North Pole, buy medium pepperoni or cheese pizzas for just $7 each when you buy two. The best pizza deal ever every day. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
You know what sounds great on a cold day? A car that starts on the first try. Hey Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. If the cold has your current ride being a little dramatic, maybe it's time to leave your old ride in 2025 and ride for six in 2026. Just $6 down gets you driving today. $6. That's coffee money. That's snack money. That's drive away today money. We have the kind of used cars you've been looking for. Low mileage? Check. All-wheel drive? Check. Great selection? Check. Low prices? Like I can't believe that's the price, low prices? Check. Interest rates that make sense? Check. 90 days of first payment? Check. Just $6 down to get you around town? Check. And yes, you can trade that frozen ride clogging up your driveway. That's drive now, pay later, $6 down, 90 days to first payments, and lots of used all-wheel drive cars, trucks, and SUVs to choose from. Check out all the happy-to-start snow-loving rides at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
$6 down and 90 days to first payment required bank approval. Offer absolutely ends at the end of the month. See dealer for details.
Finally, the sun is coming out. Great reason to smile, so show yours off with help from Affordable Dental Care. From cleaning and fillings to root canals, crowns, even veneers. Yep, they do it all. And as the name implies, it's very affordable. And if you suffer from dental anxiety, no worries. The staff at Affordable Dental know how to put your mind at ease and make your procedure a pleasant one. See all their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue downtown.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Craig Compo in the studio here. Now, plug a company or a business. Just do it.
What's that?
Plug one of your companies or businesses.
Well, storage. Boat Street Storage. Yeah, I get to plug that. What's neat about the storage business is people move once a year. They move it in. They pay for it. They move it out in May. So No employees. You got a heat. I got security. I got heat. I got cameras and things like that. But it's just a fantastic business model. we gave a buck and a half a foot discount on a vehicle. A buck and a half a foot discount if you prepaid rather than make monthly payments, because that's a pain. You got to administer it. We didn't have one person not take advantage of that, so it was great. Yeah. So no dealing with monthly payments or ringing stuff up.
It's all cash in advance.
It's nice. And the nice thing about this business, if everybody's happy with the, and it comes up next year, I've already got the place pretty much full. So it's not like you got to spend a bunch of money advertising.
Repeat offenders.
Yeah. I love, and I told all my friends, whenever I get, if I get into any other business, it's going to be zero or one employee, low maintenance, automated, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just love that because the biggest headache, and I had some great employees, but employee issues, coming into work on time, worrying about them saying something inappropriate, you know, all those kind of things you got to worry about, and it's gotten so much worse over the years, the repercussions. So anyway, I love it. I love the business model of Boat Street Storage. Anyway, that's it. We were talking before we left about Hulda Ford, who was one of the richest women. Everybody kind of assumed, nobody probably kept that much track in the 50s, but she was considered the wealthiest woman in Fairbanks, and she walked around, like I said, looking like the least wealthy woman in Fairbanks. So she was an extremely attractive woman. And then she got to know a well-known gambler in Nome. She was in Nome for a while. And then in 1905, she gave him a chunk of money and sent him to Fairbanks to invest in a building or buy up a hotel. She wanted to have some real estate holdings in Fairbanks. Upon her arrival, he spent or gambled the whole thing away. But she wasn't broke by any means. I think it was kind of a test. She mm-hmm. sent him whatever it was, 20 grand or whatever it was, and she gets to Fairbanks, and you know, he spent it all. But anyway, so she bought the old schoolhouse building on 2nd and Noble and turned it into a boarding house, selling it later for a handsome profit. And then she continued to buy property for the next 50 years. She'd buy up properties usually when they were bankrupt, mm-hmm. gold miners left or whatever. And so she was reputed to own more real estate in the city than anyone else in town. Now, this would have been probably in the 40s, I imagine. And the years went on. She became a recluse. They walked the streets of Fairbanks, which is where my mother saw her. And then she'd... I guess she was like a hoarder. She drug home anything that was worth anything she found on the street, warehouse full of things she would bring home. People say it wasn't safe to leave anything out at night, you know. So it's kind of weird how mentally how some people, it doesn't matter their wealth.
Deteriorate, yeah.
Yeah, they just become...
Fixated.
Fixated on something. Like, I mean, you look at these hoarders and some of the stuff. It's kind of a sickness. But,
yeah.
During the 50s, she was well-known. She was a well-known figure dressed in early 1900 fashion. Now, for a while there, she dressed really nice. And that's what my mom remembered. I asked her about her dress or how she dressed. My mom always said, she was walking down Fairbanks. She had high-button shoes and, you know, ancient black bag wrapped around in a dirty scarf. So she said sometimes she'd be dressed half rich and half
bad. Rich.
Yeah, kind of batty. Anyway, a lot of people remember seeing her long black coat that was always dirty. Didn't trust anybody. Never cashed any of her rental checks that she received from tenants. But she'd put them in dress drawers and trunks at home. Never cashed the checks. So she had, I don't know how she accumulated the wealth. If you don't cash a check, it goes bad after a while, right? So in 1955, many of her buildings were in such disrepair they were condemned. And now here's, this was interesting. Instead of spending the money to have them torn down, she sold them all to the then Fairbanks Clinic between 4th and 5th Avenue. And they were torn down to make parking for the clinic. This is where the new school district building is.
Yeah.
So that was her property where the school district building is. She in and out of the hospital, became ill at the old Acme Hotel, which is where she was living. She wound up dying from malnutrition of all things.
Boy.
Anyway, and after her death, they opened her old black bag, and there was $8,750 in uncashed checks and $3.71 in currency. So, and $8,700 is a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
In the 50s, you know?
Yeah.
Early 50s. So she left everything to one of her brothers in the will. And anyway, this is an unbelievable story about rich women. We're talking about rich women a little bit today. There's no known pictures of her.
Are you trying to find one? Yeah. Is that what you're doing, research?
Yeah, everybody's looking for a rich woman, right? there's no pictures of her anywhere, which is really strange because there's a lot of pictures of a lot of people in the 50s.
Text me her name, and I'll have Joni Skillbred sleuth it out.
That would be good. I'm surprised Joni may have done some. Hulda Ford, H-U-L-D-A, Hulda Ford.
Text it to me.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that. Anyway. And then, so I'm you know, when you research this, you'll get some local people that comment on her that still lived here. And he goes, Richard Busby. Mm-hmm. Says, I remember her well. Lived on First Avenue and passed her many times. Not that it matters, and she probably did own the land between 4th and 5th, but I remember when the Fairbanks Clinic was between 3rd and 4th, where McKinley Bank is today. Dr. Reber also was across the street on 4th at one time. I love reading the old-timers mm-hmm. when they write this stuff. I'm Mark Olson. I'm slightly young to have seen Hulda Ford, but I remember Irene Sherman. Well, all of us do. Mm-hmm. Patty Weaver, yes, I remember her. I left for good in 1954. Loris Gall. I was born in 48. My sisters are 38 and 40, were born then. In the early 50s, I remember passing Mrs. Ford down on 2nd and Cowles, and we would walk to town from her home on 9th and Cowles, yet probably about where the Christian Science Reading Room was. She was crawling out from under a building. Rather a scary sight. One sister said, "Look at that lady." She stopped and gave my sister a dollar bill, saying, "Here, nobody calls me a lady." I do remember how dirty she was in her long coat and quite a misunderstood gal. But yeah, so there's a lot of old time Fairbanksers that remember this lady. So it's just it's crazy. It makes you wonder about. Oh, she bought Barnett's house as well. I remember seeing that somewhere. She had wound up buying Barnett's house and resold it. So don't know if she ever cashed the check, though. Anyway, that's my rich lady section of the show.
Okay.
I did some more real estate. This was...
And if you're rich and you want to, ladies, and you want to call in and talk to a guy with a storage facility on Boat Street.
No, I'm taking.
We're at 907-458-TALK.
Don't get me in trouble. Don't get me in trouble. You get me in trouble, I'm going to tell high school stories we haven't told
you. Oh, you're fighting dirty,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. So, these are nationwide, biggest discount in price drop, biggest price drop for a piece of property. There's a place, it's overseas, I didn't even write where it is, it's in Asia somewhere, but this was a property, number 1 and 3, Pollock Walk, which is actually the priciest street on the planet. This has got to be Hong Kong, I think. Was snapped up in January of 2017 by the founder of the guy that makes iPhone screens. Now, that guy's got to have some money.
Yeah.
The founder of that company that makes the screens for iPhone, spanning just 1,000 square feet, he paid $361 million. British property tycoons Nick and Christian Candy obtained the most expensive apartment ever in 2010 in Monaco. It was just an apartment they paid between $16 and $20 million for. How do people justify this? What does that do to the real estate price? If you're paying a ridiculous amount like that, like it's probably well over what anybody else paid.
You get pissed off because your real estate taxes just go up.
Oh, my God.
Especially here in the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
That's a whole nother show. I'm sure you probably talked about it. I just got mine.
How much did they go up?
$40,000.
Mine went up 19.5%. And the last 5 years, on my house, it's gone up 65% in valuation.
Come on.
An average of 14% a year.
Do you appeal it?
I went down and talked to him. I don't appeal. I go down and talk.
Say, where did he come up with these numbers?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's like, I don't get that.
If you appeal it, you're going to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
they got it. They got you figured out.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. Have Craig Copland here. He's rambling today.
Yeah.
And we'll ramble some more when we get back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
The Hungry Robot is your 50-50 Friday offer of the week. Bogan, pepperoni, chicken bacon, spicy Islander, Buffalo Blue, J-Popper, Supreme, and way more. Taste their wood-fired brick oven pasta. Passion for pizza, all baked to perfection. All half price for 50-50 Friday. Across from the Mattress Ranch on the Old Steez, you'll see those big wood-fired copper ovens. Pickup and delivery. See their menu online. Visit thehungryrobot.com. Wood-powered passion for pizza, The Hungry Robot.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Weather brought to you by CNR Pipe, Alaska's largest metal supplier. Proudly supporting the oil and gas industry since 1992. CNR Pipe, proudly Alaskan.
KFAR Weather.
A winter storm warning begins at 6 p.m. tonight and remains in effect until 7 a.m. Friday. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a slight chance of snow. High of 6 above, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 6 to 12 inches of snow today through Thursday night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And I've stumped Craig.
Yeah.
So basically, Mr. Compo is now a senior citizen.
Yes.
So I informed him that with that illustrious age, you get $165,000.
I thought it was $150,000.
It's $165,000.
From the
Fairbanks North Star Borough Assessor's Office.
That's removed
off your valuation.
Okay.
Then, if you live in the borough and it's your primary residence in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, not the city of Fairbanks, but in the borough, you get $50,000. So it's a total of $215,000.
Now, wait. But if you're in the city, you're still in the borough.
If you're in the city limits, we only allowed $20,000. We just said no to the $50,000. Okay. Lance Roberts, you know, about a decade ago, he raised it from the $20,000 to the $50,000. And in my mind, all that does is shifts the tax burden on someone else. That's what it does.
Yeah.
So we at the city, we said no, we're not doing that. However, you had to apply for both of those by Friday, this last Friday.
Now
if you had not applied for them,
I didn't know.
That's why I was sort of
one.
Hesitant to bring it up.
Why didn't you call me?
I've had so many people. When I tell them this, they yell at me. How come you didn't tell me this 10 years ago?
Oh,
you know, or whatever.
Man.
I've owned the property this long, and I say, obviously, I didn't sell it to you. I wasn't your.
So
client.
You apply through the
right at the assessor's office.
Okay,
and they fill out a document, and once you do it. You don't have to do it again.
Yeah. Well, I'll get the 165 this year, but I won't get the extra 50. So
yeah.
Great. All right. Well, I know who I'm not taking to lunch.
don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. Well, the late messenger. Why didn't you tell me it's Friday?
I didn't know you needed it. I thought you knew everything.
Yeah.
You know, you have a real estate empire on Boat Street with storage.
Yeah. 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 Speaking of empire, the highest grossing real estate agent ever. That should be of some interest to you. This guy, now I don't know what year this was. Last year alone, HomesUSA.com boss was the first agent in the world to offload $1 billion worth of properties. Look at this old guy. Looks like Satterberg, kind of.
John Coghill.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Coghill, cross between them, yeah. Anyway, it says that in a 12-month period, he brokered the sale of 5,793 homes, an average of 111 a week.
He had a team do it.
I know. But he must have signed all of them. Together, the properties sold in 2018 amounted to $2.2 billion. Hmm. This story I like. This is the oldest lady's apartment.
Okay.
Jeanne Louise Calment died in 1997 at 122 years old. This was the oldest living person to ever have lived that's recorded.
Yeah.
She was from Arles, France, outlived everyone in her family, as well as a man who tried to buy her apartment. Well, he did buy it, but the story is a little more complex than that. Okay, having no living heirs, this buyer thought he was making a shrewd real estate decision. In France, there was a type of home sale known as a vigueur occupé. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. In this arrangement, where the owner who is selling, often someone who's older, sells the home while remaining in it as its sole resident.
You're giving a life estate, yeah.
Then when she passes on, the home is fully occupied by the buyer. In this way, the older folks can ensure they have a place to live until they die, but also have funds, usually around 30% of the property value, to handle any financial issues that might arise in the final years. she outlived the guy. and everybody else, so he never got to take advantage of it.
That's what Hugh Hefner did. He sold the property, the Playboy Mansion.
Oh yeah,
his empire was crumbling. He needed the money, so he sold his property there in Los Angeles and had a life estate where he stayed there until he passed.
What a miserable place to have to stay.
You just
got to power through.
And from what I heard. He never did upkeep on it, never did any remodeling, updating, had great parties, in specific areas, but, his bedrooms were from the 60s when he bought the place, 1970.
Well.
And that was the most expensive property at that time sold in the United States when he bought it, $1 million or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you watch some of the values of these places go crazy. What was the one, Michael Jackson's ranch?
Mm-hmm.
That's turned a few times. It'd be hard to pay a ridiculous amount of money for that, knowing what probably.
Now here's the one for you. Change of value. When I was on fast planning, from City Fairbanks, fast planning, Fairbanks area street transportation planning, we leased a office suite in the KeyBank building. In 1985, I did as an appraiser, and I did a lease analysis. In 1985, they were leasing that office space there at $2.50 a square foot, and that's what we got the property for a release in 2024.
How?
It was the same rate. They didn't change. There was such a same rate. Now, rates have gone up a little bit more since then.
Yeah.
But after 40 years, the rate was the same.
It reminds me of some of these stories you read of subsidized rent in big cities that are just ridiculous. I mean, they're paying $266 a month when something rents for $3,400 a month.
Yeah.
At some point, they have to get real on those numbers because it's just... What do they call it?
Yeah, the real estate crash wasn't just a real estate crash in the mid to late 80s.
You mean here?
Yeah, in Alaska-wide.
Oh, yeah.
He had so many banks go under.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it just... Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, 1986, we had a house on Dartmouth Street.
Mm-hmm.
We had a condo. We had paid $66,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was appraised shortly thereafter at $19,000.
Yeah, yeah.
We had private mortgage insurance, and we got out of it okay. But what a great time to buy property.
If
you had cash.
I walked into this facility in Anchorage. I just started selling real estate, and I had this friend, a client. And we were looking at these $30,000 condominiums. And there was like 40 in this complex. And every one of them. Everyone was owned by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Every one. Yeah. So, it was a nice unit, about 1,000 square feet, two bedrooms, beautiful kitchen, nice, marble type fireplace. And I'm looking at this, admiring the kitchen cabinetry, and open up one of the kitchen cabinets. And I pull out the original prospectus. And these things are going for $30, and they originally went for $135.
Yeah.
And he bought it, and his condominium dues were more than his mortgage payment. And his condominium dues were like $80.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean those were interesting times. And I'll tell you what's funny from our business perspective, in 1986 mm-hmm. was one of the year of the crash.
Yeah.
Was and even 87, but that was one of our most successful years as compos. Because
they don't give away their personal toys, they give away their property.
Exactly. They weren't going to give up their snow machine. They weren't going to miss that payment because the bank was taking their house, but it took months and months and months, and you know there was a big, and so they didn't give up their snow machines. They kept buying snow machines.
And most people don't realize that we lost six banks, went under, and savings and loans.
Can you remember the names of any of them?
Alaska State Bank.
Yeah.
First National Bank, Alaska.
UBA.
United Bank of Alaska.
Yeah, Jim Green worked there.
Then you had Bank of the North, Alaska National Bank of the North.
That's four, yeah.
You had the savings and loan on the corner of Cushman and Third. That went under. You know, so you had all these banks. I mean, the FDIC came in.
Yeah.
And the first one that went was Bank of the North. And they didn't, this just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And also, so they started operating it. So they just didn't know what to do. But about the third one that folds, they're bringing in another bank, such as NBA or First National Bank, to operate it versus them.
Yeah.
Here's all the assets. You take over all this real estate.
Yeah.
And the FDIC owned all this real estate. I was appraising properties for the FDIC out in rural Timbuktu and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting time. There's never been quite a crash like that for real estate since.
Or banks. Since then. I mean, how often is there a bank failure?
Yeah.
Half our banks fail.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the price of oil went from $40 down to $9.
I'm surprised they haven't moved the $250,000 number. It's been stuck there for what you're insured for. You'd think they would adjust that for inflation, but it hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, yeah, Jim Green was our commercial banker.
Yeah.
I remember Jim.
You would do evil things to him.
I would.
You're an evil person, Craig Compo. You're just an evil person.
I mean well.
That's why you're in my purple padded room telling stories.
Yeah.
His dad was a very good banker at the Bank of the North.
Bill Green.
Yeah, Bill Green.
Yeah. Yeah, we bear, do I have time for a quick story about Bill Green? When he died, Jim said his wishes, he wanted to be half his ashes in Harding Lake and half on some beautiful river.
Yeah.
So Jim took his ashes, and we took it in a box and said, herein lies the body of Bill Green. We ran it up the good pasture. I just took a boat off the showroom. My boat was down. Yep. We went and dumped the ashes, came back. A week later, Kyle sold the boat. Customers for the family, they came in the next Monday and they said, we got a problem. I said, what's that? I said, there's a dead guy in our boat. Well, we forgot to take the box out of the little storage area that had Bill Green's ashes in it. And I said, I am so sorry. Your kids were frightened? He goes, well, we didn't want to open it. Jim thought it was hilarious. Jim laughed for 30 minutes. But sold a boat with a dead guy in it.
Fairbanks, that is our show today. we're ending up with dead bodies.
Yeah.
Craig, you have a great trip down to Seattle.
Yep.
And when's the next
show?
Comedy show.
28th of March up at Ivory Jack's. You better mark it down now. We're going to do True Stories of Benny Lynn.
Oh, God.
True Stories about Benny Lynn.
Fairbanks, you have a great day.